No, it's Just Plane Radio.
Yeah.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I can fly.
Tame it to the pilot, tame it to the tamer, tame it to the pilot.
Brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
It's your lucky day.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
You got a plane.
Call Just Plane Radio toll-free now at 888-884-2FLY.
And the sky's the limit.
That's 888-884-2359.
Sir, I'd like you to take the helm, please.
I'll be glad to. Greg, your co-pilot, that's me along with Captain Keith and Dennis today, rounding out the crew for Just Plane Radio as we navigate the latest aviation news and information. Hopefully you enjoyed your July 4th week and made the most of it. I did by hanging out in Dollywood, Pigeon Forge, Tennessee, there in the old Smoky Moonshine Distillery. Feeling pretty good, Keith.
Yeah, you're looking pretty good, too.
Well, thank you. Got them nice rosy cheeks and
And bloodshot eyes.
Yeah.
And a red nose like Rudolph, right?
That's right. It's a little bit of everything, but that's what you do, you know, sometimes during a little family adventure. But I wasn't flying. I left the flying to Southwest, and they got me back and forth from Pigeon Forge, so I appreciate that. It was fairly uneventful. All right, but Dennis is who we got to talk to first because he has his own plane now. So I know you're excited. Have you gotten any more flying in since we talked last? Because I know you had to put it in for some kind of maintenance thing or something.
Yeah, right? That took a little bit longer than expected. So I'm hoping to get it back up in the air here the next day or so. But they had to go and replace the Mode C encoder. Apparently, my altimeter was giving incorrect information to air traffic control. And
you mean like the fact that you were flying at 20,000 feet?
Yeah, which in a non-turbo Mooney is pretty tough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, no, how far off were you? What were they saying?
About 20,000 feet.
Were they really?
Yeah, it was showing me at like flight level 210, 220, and I was only at like 2,000 feet. So apparently the encoder was sending a signal down the line that was not right or something. So, and it was intermittent. It would work fine when they did the tests. And if he sat with it and played with it long enough and hooked it up to his little test machine that can run the altitude up and down, mm-hmm. Occasionally he would see it, send this wrong information out.
Really?
And so,
did you actually have that encounter with ATC? Did they actually go, what's your call sign again? What is it?
1163 Zulu.
Yeah. Did you just, ascend to 20,200 feet? Did you have one of those conversations with traffic? Air traffic
every control? Time I flew it, I would take off and things would be fine, and I'd get handed off to some controller, and they said, it's 63 Zulu, can you check what altitude? And I'd tell them, they're like, well, we're showing you at flight level 220, let me recycle the Mode C.
They were like, they figured there was a problem. They didn't think like, wow, that is an awesome new plane you have to be able to go that high, that fast.
20,000 feet at 155 knots, yeah, no.
Okay. So they knew there was an issue, so that's right. What caused you to get it in. So what'd they do? What was the fix?
So the fix is to actually just disconnect there's an encoder built directly into my altimeter, and basically they're just disconnecting that encoder and putting in a separate standalone one. Hmm. So there's just a little black box behind the dash now that gets the static pressure and figures out the altitude and sends that to the transponder instead.
Okay. That's interesting. Keith, what is this? Is this a common problem, you think? Have you had that encounter that before or no?
Yeah, it's a fairly common problem with older airplanes.
Yeah?
Yeah. I mean, it happens to newer ones as well.
Right.
But typically it's found pretty rapidly when they do the pedostatic test.
Hmm. So
typically it doesn't get that far off.
Yeah, that's pretty far off.
That's way far off, yeah.
And in my case, it was an intermittent problem because the airplane had just had a pedostatic test and an IFR certification done prior to my delivery. And, of course, I barely got out of Milwaukee and got handed off to Milwaukee Departure, and sure enough, can you check your altitude?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, okay. So I would say maybe that pedostatic test wasn't the best.
Wasn't the best one.
Well, it was intermittent because even the mechanic here on field, he hooked it up and it was reporting 900 feet, which is our field elevation. Everything was working fine. He had to actually sit and watch and wait for it and then run the altitude up and down a number of times, and then he'd see an intermittent problem. So anyway, well, at least we're going to get a nice new encoder. It's now a digital encoder, not an older one. So I'm future-proofing. So when I do upgrade for ADS-B in the near future, I don't have to actually go out and buy yet another new encoder. So that's okay. Kind of nice.
Well, that is nice. How much did this break you for? Wasn't too bad, was it?
No, it's not horrible. The encoder itself is about $300, and it's probably about 2 to 3 hours worth of labor. So there's another $300.
Right, right. But you
welcome to the world of aviation ownership.
Well, you budgeted this into your new purchase, though, right?
Yeah. No, I figured we were going to have some things, and you know, fortunately, being in a club for a number of years, I already have had that initiation into the club of airplanes are expensive.
Yeah.
But now I can't split the cost 20 ways. But on the other hand, I can make the decisions on what pieces we're going to put in, who's going to do the work, and the timetables. So there's pluses.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can still split it. You know, your wife pays this half, you pay this half, your son pays
right.
that half.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I'm lucky enough to get my son to pay for his own gas.
Yeah, that would be an issue because...
Yeah, welcome to the world of child rearing.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, hey, you know, we basically have them so they can... pay for our toys, right?
It's not going to be any different than going flying with Greg. I'm not going to get him to pay
for the difference
gas
is I wouldn't make my son pay for the gas. I'd make him pay for the plane.
Yeah.
It'd be like, you're going to need another job.
What are you talking about? You make us pay for the airplanes.
Yeah. Well, okay.
What are you going to make your son pay
for?
We pay for the airplane.
This is hypothetical, gas, Keith. So, this is hypothetical. Yeah. If I was Dennis, that's how I would think. Okay? Let's not apply it to me. You know how I operate. It's like, you got to find someone with a plane that'll fly you there. But then, look, I'm willing to, you know, make it worth his while, you know, because he gets to hang with me. Look at me.
I get to spend time with you. We get to go do some diving. I guess there's a payback.
There's a downside. Yeah, I understand.
Yep.
Yeah. But what are you going to do? All right. Let's move on to some other breaking news in the aviation world. And this is huge, and especially very timely. Coming off of the July 4th holiday week. And that would have to involve America's pastime, hot dogs. You're a fan of hot dogs, are you not, Keith? You like hot
dogs? Absolutely. You can't be American and not like hot dogs.
You had at least several this week, I would imagine.
Oh, absolutely.
That's in one setting.
I had two.
Yeah, okay. So,
and that was one setting, yes.
Yeah, did they rain on you from the sky, from the heavens?
No, they did not do that.
Because evidently they are doing this now. Hot dogs are falling from the sky. Am I right, Dennis?
Yep. Amazon has got competition now from Oscar Mayer.
From Oscar Mayer wieners. So you wish you were an Oscar Mayer wiener.
You sing that three
falling
times and
from
the drone
a
comes.
Drone up in the sky. I could go on and on, but I don't want to annoy you anymore.
But, too late.
Oscar Mayer is delivering hot dogs from drones? Is that what they're doing?
Yep. So, you know, they've had the Wienermobile for many, many years.
Right.
And now they've introduced the Wiener drone.
The Wiener drone.
So they can deliver a wrapped hot dog via drone.
And what, like baseball games or something? Which would be awesome.
I think that's the plan. You know, it could be kind of fun sitting in the stands and, hey, over here.
Yeah.
And here comes the drone with your hot dog.
He's like, it's a hit. It's going. It's going. Oh, my God. He hit the wiener drone. Yeah, that would be the humanity. And then
I don't know how they're going to do the mustard, ketchup, and relish on it, though. That could get messy.
Well, they would just include packets. You know, that would be delivered with your hot dog. I mean, I could see him doing this. Yeah. I haven't seen the video. Is there video online of this yet or no? Are they just talking?
I don't know if they got video, but I did see pictures of it. And they had a lineup of the Wienermobile in the background. And it actually says Wiener drone on the front.
Oh,
so needless to say,
awesome.
I had to bring that to your attention.
Yes. Well, you know, we are the number one source for information on drones in the world.
Or easily abused either way.
Yeah. And, you know, that's kind of cool, though. That is using the technology in a way that I didn't see that I actually agree with. Especially, like, think about this. At a sporting event, if you could avoid the issue with, you know, foul balls and stuff at a baseball game, that would be a problem. you know, football. Maybe it's football. You don't got to hear like, hot dogs here.
Hot dogs here.
Well, and now they're going to do, they're just going to fly over the top of you and drop it.
Well, I know. You don't have to worry about.
Place the order on your phone with an app, and your drone comes over bringing your stuff. You don't have to have people running up and down the aisles.
Exactly.
Well, what happens if you're sitting in the wrong seat?
If you're sitting in the wrong seat, the guy that's in your seat's going to get a bonus hot dog.
Oh, maybe they'll use the GPS position and just bring it right to where you're standing.
Well, exactly.
Yeah,
if you're in line for the restroom, you're still going to get your delivery.
Still going to get your wiener if you're in line for the restroom. Huh?
Please step out of the stall, sir. We have a hot dog here for you. Hot and juicy. You go, well, I could say something.
Talk about that in the bathroom. That's not a good thing, Greg. But what if you've gone down to the club seating and you don't have a ticket there? You just kind of snuck in there because it was open. You don't belong in this seat. Go back to your other one.
No, they would never do that. Those are little bugs. They'll work out. More coming up.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle. Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder. Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and Flight Training Professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
Whether you're a flight student, an experienced pilot, or simply an aviation enthusiast, there is a place for you as a member of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. Join AOPA to get the latest general aviation news, safety resources, and technical support you need to sharpen your skills and become a central part of the nation's vibrant general aviation community. Learn more about becoming a member at AOPA.org. That's AOPA.org.
As pilots, it's all about the journey. But sometimes situations arise that can turn an adventure into a nightmare. Do what divers do. Join DAN, Divers Alert Network. The many benefits of a DAN membership go way beyond water activities. As a DAN member, you automatically receive DAN Travel Assist and up to $100,000 of evacuation assistance coverage. This applies to both diving and non-diving medical emergencies. Dive into DAN.org for details. DAN, your Dive Safety Association.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Whoa, kill the motor, dude. Let us see what Squirt does flying solo.
Watch me get ready to fly. Watch me get ready to fly.
Oh, yeah. This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot, that's me, along with Captain Keith and Dennis helping us out today to round out this crew as we navigate the latest aviation news and information. All right, so Dennis has his new plane. He's going to equip it with an Oscar Mayer hot dog drone on the bottom of it so he can deliver hot dogs around the world, because the drones have limited range. You know what I'm saying? That would be an upgrade to your Mooney. You hear what I'm saying, Dennis? You like this?
Yeah, I don't know if it's approved, though.
You don't think it's approved?
No, I don't think it's an approved upgrade yet.
Well, you know, last week we were talking about the video. Just do it at the same time. The video cameras, do the video camera upgrade and the Oscar Mayer drone upgrade at the same time, and submit the paperwork. You'll be good to go, I think.
Yeah, all right, get field approval. It won't be a problem.
Yeah, you do have to have a place, though, to store this. this baby. What's she called again?
Field approval is not a problem. Just pay them off with some wieners.
Of course.
There you go.
And you can give them a hot dog, too. Hey!
Hey! Don't forget to tip your waitress.
Hot and cold salad bar is open for your enjoyment. All right, and... but you do have to have a place to store your baby, which is, what's her name again? What is it?
It's Dory.
Dory, that's right. Dory, the Mooney 201.
Yep.
And so you have a hangar or you're renting a space? What are you doing?
Yeah, we're renting a hangar for it. You know, you guys have hot temperatures in Florida that you need to put airplanes in hangars for. We have cold winters that also need to have hangars. So.
Okay. So, actually, your hangar is a little bit more self-contained, I would imagine. A little more insulated than what we'd have down here. Am I right?
Yeah, a little bit more. You know, so you're turning this... handle the snow.
Even though you're
actually insulate the hangars?
You would have
actually,
to,
it's
you?
Not. No,
it's not because insulated?
I wouldn't think so. I've never seen one that was insulated.
Really?
Well, we have several of the nicer hangars on the field. You know, some of the bigger ones, people have got them heated and air-conditioned. They're actually quite quite luxurious. But,
yeah, but
ours
not,
is just,
not
you know...
not T-hangers.
No.
Not T-hangers?
But it's really not needed. Just wrap a big, you know, you put the cowl blankets on, and we've got a Tanis preheat system, so you just plug it in, and it heats the engine directly without having to warm up the whole hangar. So it's a pretty efficient way to do it.
Well, does the hangar only hold your plane, or are there other planes in there?
No, we have a T-hanger, so it's just the shape of our aircraft. It's got a little notch in the back to be able to take the tail and just wide enough to cover the wings.
Okay. But it is big enough where you could go in there and, you know, customize it a little bit, kind of turn it in your own little man cave.
Yeah, we got the beer fridge and a TV. We got a Roku. I was sitting on my golf cart, which we use as a tug. I was watching Black Sheep Squadron while sitting in the golf cart, kind of pretending I was at the drive-in.
Nice.
So yeah.
You have your little wireless TV thing going on there. And so in between flights, you can just kick back. So there's enough space in there to get a chair or two, I assume. Are you sitting on the floor?
No, you can easily walk around the plane. We've got a desk and some shelving in the back to store extra cases of oil and things like that.
Mm-hmm. What have you found that surprised you that you needed to get for your hangar? Because this is like getting a small apartment, isn't it?
It is. What surprised me is the lack of lighting.
Yeah. The black lighting. Is that what you said? You got black lighting and Velvet Elvises on the wall?
You know, that's an idea, though.
Yeah, heck yeah, buddy.
No, I actually, you'll be happy with me. I actually put a Bahamas scuba diving calendar on the wall in there from our friends over at
the Bahamas Ministry of Tourism. Sure.
Well, not that one, but the one with the swimming instructors.
Oh, the calendar girls.
Yes.
Of Stewart Coves.
That's
the free divers. Yes. Keith, just imagine, you know, diver ladies that are... art and well, it's nude, so it's art.
No,
it's all black and white. It's very nice, very tastefully done.
Exactly, it's black and white, so therefore, it's definitely art. That's what you tell your wife. Anyway,
and your teenage daughter.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And you'll get the same reaction. Smack across the face. You know, shut up. Shut up. Take out the garbage. Anyway, so, I mean, has there been anything that has surprised you that you've had to equip your hangar with, your man cave hangar?
Yeah, where I was going with that was the lack of lighting. There's actually only two screw-in light bulbs in the ceiling of this hangar, and it, you know, that's just not enough light.
Yeah.
You know, if you wanted to do anything on the airplane, maybe, you know, clean it out or whatever. Or even just, you know, like to wax it inside. It's just not enough. So we're in the process of stringing up some of those LED light strips that you can get for, you know, $10 for a 15-foot strip.
Right.
So we're going to put a bunch of those on the ceiling, on the overhead trusses, and that should give us a lot more light in the hangar and cover it from edge to edge as well.
How about some of those, like, tiki torch type, you know,
how about just opening the hangar doors?
Huh?
Just open the hangar door, you get a lot of light.
Well, it's Minnesota.
Yes,
they have no light there. It's dark 24/7 in Minnesota, isn't it?
No. We don't have the Alaska problem, but you're right. Open the hangar door, everything's fine. The problem is after about 8 p.m., the mosquitoes come out, and ours are bigger than the ones you have.
Yeah.
They start.
You need tiki torches. Put tiki torches out in front of your hangar. Keep them bugs at bay.
That's a really good idea with 100 low-lead fuel.
Okay. you know, flames and the fuel thing. You
open
do have
flames.
You got me there. Yeah, you might have a problem with that. All right, so you're just gonna have to go with some kind of lighting and some bug zapper. I guess
that's that, and we've got a fridge in there that's well stocked, because you know we found out that the line guys actually appreciate a nice cold Coca-Cola or adult beverage when they come over to fuel your plane. So we keep them happy, they keep us happy.
Yeah, that's their tip, you know, so to speak. Absolutely. I'm sure they appreciate that. Now, actually,
the airport authority appreciates you giving them adult beverage, you know, when they come
over to fuel your after hours and if they're off shift. So that's why I have the Mexican Coke and glass bottles to give to the guys that are driving, you know, 3,000 gallons of jet fuel around.
Mm-hmm. The Mexican Coke. As opposed to the stuff that's already been shipped across the border. Understood.
Well, you know what I'm talking about. It's the real cane sugar, not the, and it comes in the glass bottles. You usually get it at the Sam's Club or whatever. It's a little bit better than just handing them a plastic screw top bottle.
Well,
it's classier.
Yeah. Okay. Classier. Absolutely. It shows them that you care. I understand.
Exactly.
You know, as far as the bugs, I did see a pretty cool thing on YouTube this week where like a salt gun, where it's a bug zapper, but it looks like a gun, and you literally can sit there and just shoot the mosquitoes out of the sky. That would go over well in Minnesota.
The salt shooters?
Yeah, is that what, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Have you seen that?
Yeah, the assault rifle.
Yes, that's what it is.
Yeah, my son-in-law has one of those.
Yeah.
And he sends me pictures all the time. He lives up in northern Florida, and so they have a lot. We don't have flies down here in central Florida.
Yeah.
Except for the random one that gets trapped in somebody's car or
yeah, but our mosquitoes are actually bigger than flies.
Yes.
So it'd work on mosquitoes, I would imagine,
too. But he sends me pictures all the time of these bugs that he torments.
Yeah.
You know, flies that he shoots the heads off of and stuff like that, so.
Yeah. It's a sign. It starts with the bugs and then moves up to animals, reptiles, and humans, so be careful.
He has my little granddaughters, you know. They love it when he does this kind of stuff.
Oh, of course. I understand.
Who wouldn't?
Yeah, that's Elmo's serial killer start. We got more coming up on Just Plain Radio.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I've been up around the stratosphere at 31,000 feet. I'm gonna fly on out of here on wings that you can't see. If you're gonna fly high without fear, you're gonna have to learn to love the atmosphere, and you gotta learn to use those wings you can't see.
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, a co-pilot, that's me along with Captain Keith and Dennis helping us out today as well. All right, so we're navigating the latest aviation news and information, and we had this story several months ago, and evidently they're making progress on creating a supersonic jet that will not, have the supersonic noise associated with it.
They're calling it low boom.
Low boom or a low thump is what they said or something. I don't know. But that would be good, Keith. What
It'd
do you think?
It'd be great.
Yeah, it's just, if it's like the story we had before, it's this wing design they've come up with evidently limits the sonic boom sound.
Right.
So, I don't know, what are you seeing, Dennis? They think this is going to happen soon, or
they've
what?
Been doing that with the military, because they've got military jets that are supersonic as well.
Yeah.
And you don't want that because you don't want the enemy to know you're coming. So they've got some design history behind this.
Right. But NASA is working on this, so is this going to go back to them first and then come to us, or will this go straight to us?
Well, I think NASA is helping the contractors design these things, because you've got, there's a private company that's trying to build a business jet, but you've got Lockheed working on, you know, something. There's evidently interest for a small passenger airliner that, you know, potentially could return to the Pacific or the Atlantic routes again, too, where you could get to London in 3.5 hours.
Mm-hmm. Bring the Concorde back.
Only in a smaller form factor.
Right, right. We don't need
The Concorde wasn't that big.
No, but it still held like 90-some people. They're looking at, you know, something, you know, 50 passengers or less type of a deal.
Yeah, and it was like $25,000 a seat or something ridiculous.
Right.
Yeah, and that's too much, even for first class.
My wife and I almost went on the airplane.
You did? Almost went on the Concorde?
Yeah.
What happened?
They decided not to run it. It was after the whole issue with the Concorde when it went was taken out of service after the crash, and they're going to bring it back in service again.
Yeah. It's like, and hey, we need some volunteers.
That's really exactly what they were going to do. Yeah. So they opened it up to airline personnel.
Yeah.
And they were going to take a day trip over to London, mm-hmm. eat lunch, shop, whatever, and then come back.
Be a big to-do.
Publicity.
Big publicity stunt, yeah.
Okay.
If all the airline people will do it, you'll do it. It's safe.
We don't need Keith. Send him.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
You are now clear for takeoff with Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Well, that's the craziest video game I've ever seen.
It's actually a flight simulator.
You learning how to fly?
I'm still learning how to fly.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me, along with Captain Keith and Dennis helping us out today. All right, so Dennis has been scouring the internet. And I don't know, was this on AV Web or where did you see this story?
It's on AvWeb, but AOPA is also carrying it on their website as well.
Right. So just, what do we got? What is it?
Congress is rearing its ugly head. The whole ATC privatization is apparently gaining traction, which is not the direction we wanted that to go.
Yeah. Trump's on a roll right now. He's had some good news, I guess, for the last couple. Well, I say that, and, you know, hey, by the time people hear this, they'll go, oh, yeah. Yeah, you know, some other scandal will break out. So who knows what'll happen? But yeah, he's pushing this pretty hard, you know. And I know the aviation community is not a fan, but I do wonder if we're going to end up losing this battle. I'm just thinking out loud here because Bush pushed for this, Obama pushed for this. Even did Clinton push for this too, or no?
I don't remember if he did or not.
But Bush and Obama both did, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, it got knocked back because we have such a strong force, a caucus of aviating, or, you know, the aviation caucus, push it back on the executive branch to say, no, we don't want to do this. This would be bad for flying and that kind of thing. I just wonder if, you know, they're working this so hard, eventually, are we going to end up caving in some way, you think?
Well, I certainly hope not, because it would really be a bad idea. There's a lot of things that could be privatized, TSA, for one.
Right, yeah.
But the ATC system, you know, if you have a private company that takes over, I mean, the airlines want to take it over. That's who's really, really pushing this. And, of course, they've got the most money to fight it, and they're the biggest. They're the 800-pound gorilla, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they're pushing it. But can you imagine the airlines having the most say as to what happens in air traffic control? I mean, they can't operate their
systems. These are the same airlines. Yeah, exactly. These are the same airlines that have emerged and created mega hubs, that have created mega backups, that they can't even get their own scheduled flights up because they schedule too many at the same time.
And they can't handle their software. You know, I booked
some
flights last night.
Some
have
put you both down as not a fan.
Not a fan.
Not at all. Right, just
Yeah,
I don't know.
And yet, you know, it's being structured such that they're effectively going to have control. I mean, the way that this bill is written, it's supposed to be a 13-member board is going to oversee it. Three seats are going to the airlines, one seat each for GA and business aviation. So we get one vote for GA and 13 other people. And then the other seats would be occupied by government, airports, air traffic control, and two people appointed by the group. Well, guess who's going to get
guess
the votes
who's gonna
there?
Guess who's going to get the appointed, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So now you got 5 out of 13 are going to be controlled by the airlines, effectively.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know if there's any safeguards that can be put in there to help us out in that regard or not. But
well, there really isn't, because every safeguard that you can come up with, there's always a loophole.
True.
And, like, and
you said you would never do that.
And they're going to fight and fight and fight to find the loopholes, because this is what the airlines want.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, frankly, everybody ought to be pushing for this, because right now, general aviation is pushing hard. That's why, you know, companies like NetJets and things are growing so rapidly, because people are tired of what the airlines are doing.
True.
So aircraft sales. I mean, our business is flourishing, and many other companies are flourishing. Aircraft management companies, charter companies are all growing rapidly because they're tired of the airline.
So it's more than just user fees, though.
Absolutely.
Because there's been talk that there would be no user fees impacted on GA. That's one of the things they keep saying.
But remember that that board that's controlling this is no longer going to be reporting to Congress. So what's to stop them?
No, they will be reporting
to
Congress.
Yeah, they would be over.
They will be reporting to Congress.
I think there'll be oversight. However,
it was talking about they were reporting to the Secretary of Transportation at one point, and which would take them out of direct congressional oversight.
Well, there still would be some kind of watchdog organization over them. But regardless, your concern is that even though they say there won't be any user fees, they'll find a way eventually.
Again, another loophole.
Yeah, exactly. They'll find a loophole. So that is the concern. So I don't know. Yeah. We'll have to wait and see.
They'll just increase the taxes. They may not come out with the actual user fee for landing, for approach, and all those kinds of things that they have currently in other countries, but they'll maybe just increase the taxes that we pay on our fuel.
Right.
But what's to stop them from doing it? Because, you know, we're in a forced upgrade that we're putting ADS-B systems into all of our airplanes. Well, we effectively have a toll pass being put into every single one of the airplanes. I don't think it would take anybody a lot of effort to figure out how to track those flights and start charging by mileage or all sorts of other things that would just make this just unbearable for the small, you know, average pilot.
Yeah.
And those things are coming. Sky. I mean, they're trying to do it with cars right now.
You know, they have to.
The insurance companies are offering
cars.
That.
Yeah.
To you, you know, if you'll put this monitor in your car, you get a reduced rate on your insurance. And it's the same type of a GPS system.
And they're looking at having to do that with electric cars because right now we have a gas tax, right? How much gas are you putting into your Tesla to go out and drive on the freeway? None. So there's no tax revenue being collected for every electric car that's being sold.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Could be
a
problem.
At least on my Mooney, I'm at least paying, you know, whatever the excise tax is on every gallon of avgas I put in.
Yeah.
So I'm paying my share for every hour I'm flying.
And the taxes that we pay on general aviation with our fuel is more than enough to cover what the general aviation uses. It's just the appropriation of those funds that is the problem.
Right. They don't spend it properly.
That is correct.
Yeah, but they keep pointing towards Canada's aviation network or whatever. Like, this is the model that we should be going after. Look at all these state-of-the-art systems that they're using. Why don't we have this?
But, you know, we have the number one aviation system in the world. And why do we have to go with the ICAO? We're adopting more and more ICAO stuff that they've done all over the world.
ICAO is a big furniture store, right?
It is.
That's IKEA.
Oh, okay.
Same difference. It's all cheap rendering.
Yeah, their instructions are terrible. But what are you saying? So what do you mean? ICAO? What do you mean?
They want to go to an international system where we have absolutely everything, just like we have in every other country, when they ought to be adapting our processes here instead of what we have over there.
Well, but why do they say that their system in Canada is so much better than ours, then, from a technological standpoint?
Who's saying that, though? That's the problem.
Well, the computerized...
The spin
doctors? No, the computerized ATC system up in Canada supposedly is pretty good. That's what they've been saying, right?
You know, I've been flying in Canada for a number of years.
And you're going to dispute that?
It's no different than here in the U.S.
Well, they have computras that track everything much better than we do here. Well, maybe once we get ADS-C.
It's simply because we're lazy. Okay.
Because Americans.
I've also been flying down in countries like Cuba.
Yeah.
They have the same radar system that we have here. Mm-hmm. You get yourself a half mile off course, they're going to give you a heading to get back on course.
Yeah. And
why
they don't do that
why
here?
Why can't they do that here? They're saying that our system is so outdated that they can't safely do traffic. Yes, they can.
Mm-hmm. They just got
to
be more
work
diligent.
A lot harder and be more diligent because we have a lot more traffic.
Right.
So... I mean that's a whole, it all depends on whose eyes you're looking through here to get the perception.
Well, I saw some TV show called Superhuman last week, and people have like superhuman powers, like you can speak really fast. So you just need to put someone like that on the ATC, Mike, and be able to manage everyone. Yeah. You'll have to have him repeat it 100 times because he'll be talking so fast, you know, that you won't understand him. But he'll get out all the information correctly.
So maybe we just need to have robots do ATC. Is that what you're saying?
Well, that could be another thing.
The autonomous ATC.
You could do that, or you could just find these superhuman folks that, you know, have been embedded with chips or something, or have some kind of off gene that makes them superhuman. It's a TV show. It obviously is true.
Or we just get the humans out of the cockpit and let the computers fly the airplanes. Oh, wait, that was last week.
So now if we're going to take the humans out of the cockpit, let's take them out of the traffic control centers as well, because then we won't have any more mistakes.
Right.
Well, that's an idea. So maybe we automate that first.
Wait, what should we call it? Skynet, maybe?
Ooh, hey, that would be original, wouldn't it? But why not? Yeah, that would be a better way to start with the computers as opposed to the pilots. Just have ATC be computerized, you think?
Well, some of it's already getting that way. I mean, they're already working with some of the airlines to do things like ATC clearances are being sent digitally to the cockpit, basically text messaging to the cockpit instead of having to read, you know, Northwest 2555 cleared direct to Minneapolis Airport via as filed, climb maintained. You know, that goes away. They just send you the clearance now as a text message.
But only if you say, "Hey Siri," first.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
For nearly 75 years, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association has been a beacon for those who cherish the freedom to fly. AOPA protects your rights as a pilot by fighting airspace restrictions, fuel taxes, user fees, airport closings, and other issues that threaten your ability to take to the sky. AOPA is on the front lines every day to ensure that general aviation and the interests of its members are promoted and safeguarded. Learn more about how you can become a member at AOPA.org.
Who's your buddy? Is he your pal? Well, I'm Greg the Dive Master, and I'll explain how we use the buddy system in diving next.
This scuba tip is brought to you by DAN, Divers Alert Network. DAN helps divers in need of medical emergency assistance with the DAN hotline and is the most recognized and trusted organization worldwide in the fields of dive safety and emergency services, health, research, and education. Join DAN today by going to DAN.org. DAN, your dive safety association.
For many, scuba diving is a social sport, but that's only one reason we use the buddy system. Ideally, dive buddies are evenly matched in skill level and can assist each other if necessary. They're not a crutch to lean on, but a backup system that, if used properly, can make your dive safer and more enjoyable. And if you're diving right, your buddy will likely end up being your pal, too. Dive into dan.org for more info and to Scuba Radio to get the urge to submerge. Scuba Radio.
For takeoff with Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I ain't never been in no airplane. This thing looked like a toy come out of a Cracker Jack box. You know, my truck weighs more than this airplane does. For all I know, he hits a Blue Jay, he's going down.
You could be a blackbird on a country street, hiding from the world with the broken wing, but you better believe you're gonna fly with me. You're gonna fly. You're gonna fly.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, a co-pilot. That is me, along with Captain Keith and Dennis, helping us out today. All right, so you know, there are a couple little news items that we got to share with everyone before we wrap it up today. Sean Tucker, air show super pilot. What is the deal? He's retiring? Is that what's going on?
He's hanging up the headset. He's been on the air show circuit for over 40 years, which I just find hard to believe. It just doesn't seem like it's been that long, but he's been flying over 40 years on the airshow circuit.
Well, I remember, you know, like he got the Bob Hoover Award, and, you know, Bob Hoover kind of handed off his mantle to him. I figured he was good to go for another 10 years or so at least. So he's decided to cash in, or at least cash out, or I don't know, hang it up for a while.
Hang up the headset, at least professionally on the airshow circuit, at, after 40-year career. I mean, that's amazing. 40 years of cranking and banking around in small planes. That's amazing.
Is he going to be at AirVenture doing one last show?
I sure hope so.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't say whether or not he's immediately doing this, or
didn't say specifically, but I would imagine he would, because I believe he's still in charge of the Young Eagles program.
Yeah. Well, I would imagine if he is going to perform at AirVenture, that's going to make it very, very special.
It'd be a swan song.
Yeah, it'd be. I would think that would be happening, but we'll see. We'll find out here in a couple weeks for that big show. Now, speaking of AirVenture, we got a few folks that are going to be out there. Dennis will be out there, our buddy Jim and Deb. And so I have another commitment to go catch lobsters that week. So the lobsters won over, won out over airplanes for me this year.
Can I put my order in now, or are you just going to go over to Publix and get them?
No, I'm gonna catch lobsters.
For you, he's going to Publix.
Yeah. If you want lobster, yes. For me, I'm going to go catch them and eat them, and that'll be the plan.
Well, just remember, watch the butter intake.
Yeah, well, maybe. But yeah, so that's what's happening.
I can't believe it, not butter.
For our crew here at Just Plain Radio. However, other air shows, the Paris Air Show just happened here recently, and I did see something popped up on my YouTube feed of the drone helicopter. Did you see this, Keith?
I did not.
This is a two-seat helicopter. It looks like a helicopter till your sight goes towards the blades and you realize, wait a minute, there's four quadcopter blades on this thing. So it looks like a drone as opposed to one big blade on the helicopter, but it actually has a cockpit like a helicopter. And then they show it and they say this thing is going to have like a, I don't know, 20-mile or 50-mile range or something. I mean, something very usable. And it will also collapse. So the four, you know, blades that are made out of carbon fiber will collapse around the bubble, the two-seater bubble of the, you know, helicopter or whatever you want to call this thing. You can put it in your garage.
A dropter.
Maybe. They have a title for it. I don't know if they're calling it a...
They're calling it the Airbus Air Taxi.
Okay, the Air Taxi,
see,
right.
Now, this sounds good to me because this would make my commute to and from the flight school very nice.
Exactly.
Instead of having to deal with I-4.
Right. This is not a flying car, but it's darn near close because the beauty of it is you don't have to learn how to fly a helicopter and you get all the same benefits because it just has a little joystick control like you would operate a drone, like a little mini drone. Just this one, you happen to be in it, and they say it's actually very, very easy to fly. So they expect to have this out and available for like a couple hundred grand. Like in a couple years. So they say.
Then the I-4 construction is going to be all over with it. It won't be worth it. I need it now.
There'll be more. There'll be more construction. I can guarantee you that.
Yeah.
Well, so there will just be more people. They make the freeway wider, and they just put more cars on it.
Well, that may be. But, you know, this might be a pretty practical thing. You know, I've always wondered about the flying car thing being the solution, but now I saw this.
I never knew that about you.
You never heard me say that before.
No.
You have not been listening.
But he's still dreaming of the Jetsons. He wants the flying car that turns itself into a briefcase that he can just carry inside.
This does kind of look like the Jetsons.
What does he need a briefcase for?
Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah, but I mean, it has like the, you know, big helicopter bubble, like you typically would have that kind of cockpit on this thing, and so. And the fact that it folds down and you can get it in a garage, now that's pretty sweet.
Now you don't have to rent a hangar at the airport.
I know. That's what I'm saying. This is pretty, and it's only 200 grand. That doesn't even reach Captain Keith's credit limit, does it?
I'm game. Let's do it.
Pull out that credit card. Let's go, buddy. Get us on.
I want to know what the top speed on it and what kind of range, though, because can I use it to go to Florida and back or not?
No, it's not that far. It's more for commutes. I think I remember seeing it was... I want to say like a 50-mile range or something like that. It wasn't like for, you know, cross-country stuff. if I remember correctly. But it had redundant systems. So, like, if one of the four blades went wonky, it has some other system where they'll come down and it'll still get you back down to the surface without falling out of the sky. So it had a parachute, actually, too. So they have a few redundant systems built into this baby, figuring that people like me are going to get in it and screw it up some way, even though it's supposed to be Greg-proof. You know, they've put in some redundancy in this thing. So I don't know. It could be the future. I would prefer the flying car if this is something to kind of, you know, get us to that point. In the meantime, I would take an air taxi like this. That would work as well for me.
It worked for me, too.
Yeah, you like this idea, huh?
I do.
Okay. What do you think, Keith? Are you game or no?
I'm game.
No, Dennis.
I think that would be great. I mean, hop in your little taxi, pull it out of the garage, take it off, go to the airport, get in the faster plane to go somewhere else. And
right. That's it.
It'd be well worth it to not have to sit in the traffic on the surface.
There you go. You'd save so much time. It'd be practical, fun. And you know, all I got to do is get Keith to buy me one.
What else is new?
So true. And on that note, we'll end it. Till next time, remember, there's no better high
than learning to fly.
Just Plane Radio is brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
I say we take off and nuke the entire site from orbit.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
It's the only way to be sure.
Just Plane Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
But just plain wrong.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at JustPlaneRadio.com.
I'm going to lead my people up to the radio tower.
So tell a friend and take off every week with Just Plane Radio.
And I'm going to make a call.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Listen up, everybody. I have some news.
The opinions you just heard on Just Plane Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
We are screwed.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
A little too far. Cross the line.
There are many factors to consider before learning to fly.
What is your problem?
So make sure you do your own research and get the proper instruction before your exploration into aviation.
Thank you very much, sir.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at JustPlaneRadio.com.